This past Wednesday was the Beaver Roundup Parade. And the whole week, and extending through the weekend, is Beaver Roundup. Beaver Roundup is, of course, the annual community celebration for Dillingham, and founded in the history of the importance of beaver, fur, and trapping to our area. In my humble opinion, as community themes go, it's right near the top. What's not to like about trapping and fur? At any rate, the parade seemed to go off well on Wednesday, with pretty decent weather and what seemed like a good turnout of people. The refuge always has a float, such as it is, so it's an event that we're keyed into. It seems everyone has an annual celebration. Some of the smaller communities I've been in just call them generically Winter Carnival, and there's nothing wrong with that. Larger towns and cities typically have a history and a name, such as Fur Rondi in Anchorage. In my hometown in Kansas, it's held at the end of July and called Cowtown Days, hearkening back to Ellsworth's start as a genuine Wild West cowtown. They even have a big show that they put on that recalls a sheriff that was shot down, the shooting of Sheriff Whitney. I've often wondered how the real Whitney would feel to know he's been commemorated in such a way for something like 80 years. Because it's Beaver Roundup this week, let's consider the animal behind it all, in a rambling sort of way. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I guess the first thing I'd point out is that our beaver is, officially, the North American beaver, Castor canadensis. The reason I point that out is that there's also a Eurasian beaver, and there are differences between them. At a quick glance, they might look like they could be one and the same animal. Google a few photos and you'll see what I mean. However, dig a bit deeper, and you'll find out that not only are they different, but they're not even compatible. North American beavers have 40 chromosomes. Their Eurasian counterparts have 48. A few years back, a rather rigorous attempt was made in Russia to produce a hybrid. Their government dollars at work. Why is anyone's guess, but it wasn't exactly a success. The net result of all those efforts was a single, stillborn kit. Beyond the chromosome difference, some of the things you might notice with a closer look include differences in the size and shape of the skull and nose, shorter shin bones, which makes it more difficult for Eurasian beavers to stand on their hind legs, a narrower tail, and larger anal glands. Also, while this is far from an ironclad way to identify them, a majority of North American beavers sport those distinctive chestnut reddish guard hairs, while the propensity of Eurasian beavers have light tan, almost beige-colored guard hairs. And something that's totally coincidental, I've had the fur trade on my mind the last couple of weeks. Well, kinda sorta. I started watching the Netflix series called Frontier. It's got the guy who played Aquaman, Jason Momoa, as the lead. The storyline is a fictionalized account of the fur trade around Hudson's Bay in the 1700s. Of course, the big-ticket fur back then was beaver, and that shows up in the series. Beavers have been an area resource around here for the native population for longer than anyone will ever be able to pin down. Beaver fur is a very warm, durable fur, and beaver meat can be outstanding table fare. As such, beavers have had a great deal of value to people throughout the years. Much of European exploration of Alaska, just as it was on the eastern side of Canada and across the American West, was driven by the fur trade, a large chunk of which was driven specifically by beavers. During the 1800s, across much of Canada and the American West, beaver furs were so heavily traded, they actually became a unit of currency unto themselves. Beaver hides were called plews and were bartered for needed supplies, such as clothing, tools, blankets, traps, guns, powder, and food. Going back to the time and place of the TV series I'm watching, the 1700s and Hudson's Bay Company, they had what was called a made beaver, a unit of currency in which one quality adult winter beaver was one made beaver. And they had metal coins to trade which represented made beavers, as well as fractional coins for halves and quarters as well. I share all of that to point out that beavers have a long history of use by man, across many places and times, and there has often been a great value attached to them. Beavers are not at all just a Dillingham and Beaver Roundup sort of thing. Beavers have been something I've pursued at times through my life. I caught my first at age 16 or 17. While there are plenty of them across Kansas, they're not as plentiful as other fur bearers, such as raccoons and coyotes, so my focus was usually somewhere else. I do remember my first beaver like it was yesterday. I had a 330 across a lodge entrance set into a riverbank. The day I checked the set, we'd had a bunch of rain and the river was way up. It's amazing I didn't drown trying to get to the trap. But it all seemed worth it when I found a beaver in it. I tanned that beaver myself, and still have it to this day. One cool fact that some folks find surprising is that beavers are rodents. They're basically large mice. They are our continent's largest rodent, and second only in size worldwide to the larger capybaras of South America. Adult beavers in Alaska usually weigh between 40 and 60 pounds, though extremely old fat ones can sometimes come close to triple digits. In fact, I've personally caught a few over 60 and one that weighed 72, though that was in Kansas. I know a guy in Virginia that caught one that weighed a whopping 106 pounds. Adults are between 3 and 4 feet long, with a tail that's 10 to 12 inches in length. Most people will recognize they're some type of brown in color, normally, that can range from a light dusty brown to almost black, though that chestnut brown I mentioned is the most common. They have small front legs and larger muscular hind legs that sport webbed feet. The tail is dark gray to black and broad, and is one of its most recognizable traits, along with those distinctive orange-colored rodent incisors. Which, by the way, have you ever wondered, why orange? The orange comes from a high iron content that's found in the enamel on the front of the teeth. When I was still a classroom teacher, say teaching third grade, the beaver was hands down my favorite animal for teaching about adaptations. In fact, they're covered in adaptations from the front to the back. That spatula-like scale-covered tail has several critical uses, including as a rudder when swimming, an alarm when danger is near, and an extra leg to provide balance when cutting down trees. The webbed hind feet, and that webbing is thick and rubbery if you've never touched a beaver's foot, help to make them superior swimmers. They have valves that shut off in their nose and ears while swimming and working below the water's surface, and they have skin flaps in their mouths that allow them to chew while underwater. They also have glands on either side of their anus called castor glands. The scent in these glands is used to mark territory, and it's a favorite scent of trappers, whereas it's a very attractive odor to many predatory fur-bearing species. A week or so ago, a former student posted a meme on Facebook that had like a dozen different scents listed. And some were pretty pleasant, things like fresh brewed coffee and the smell of campfire. It said to pick your two favorite scents. I took exception with it. First of all, it didn't have any listing at all for bacon. That seemed like an egregious omission, in my humble opinion. Where this ties to our current topic is, I wrote in the comments section that one of my favorite scents is the faint smell of castor in the air around a beaver pond in mid-October. Maybe some of you listening know what I'm talking about, and agree. Beavers are incredibly abundant over a whole lot of our state, country, and continent. They're pretty easy to find around just about any forested part bordering any kind of water anywhere in Alaska. They're very prolific, widespread, and adaptable. Evidence of their habitation is always easy to spot. Chewed trees and vegetation, heavy trails leading to the water's edge, dams and lodges all serve as something of a neon sign pointing to the presence of beavers in an area. They are not a secretive animal. To that effect, I'll share a couple of experiences. One fall, up on Snake Lake Road, well, a road near Dillingham that people use to get out and about, for those not from here, I came across a beaver in one of the small ponds near the road. I think maybe I was looking for spruce grouse. I saw ripples in the water near the culvert, so I pulled over and got out to look. There was an adult beaver, trying its very best to ram fresh-cut saplings into the culvert to block it up. I was literally feet from the beast, and it saw me, yet it paid me no mind, thoroughly invested in its efforts to stop the flow of water. And then, last fall, as my hunting buddy and I exited a slough on the Nishagak River via raft during moose season, my buddy about fell off of the raft when the silence of the night was interrupted by a close-by explosion, as a beaver slapped the river in annoyance at how close we were. No, they're not shy at all. In closing, I'll add that sometimes you hear the phrase, busy as a beaver, which is an idiom that gives a nod to the industriousness of these furry Alaskan denizens. Indeed, they are a very active animal, and that particular idiom is great advice for this week. Beaver Roundup is always overflowing with things to do and food to eat. I'd encourage everyone to get out there and do their part to both celebrate and act like beavers. Have a safe and delightful Beaver Roundup, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.